Good morning. It's time for our K-State Research and Extension Report. With us today, we have Mayor DeZine Extension District Family and Consumer Sciences Agent Kathy Gowell. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great.
Outstanding. And speaking of great, there's a lot of great big plans to be made, especially one that you're telling us happened just recently.
Okay, so everybody knows we come around April 15th each year, we pay our taxes, and I want you all to think about filing your taxes and then setting a family meeting. And I know filing our taxes usually doesn't prompt a family meeting unless we've got, you know, a good tax return. It gives us a windfall of money and you'd like to share. Well, I don't have a windfall of money to share, but I do have some information to share that I feel is important to every family. And I know how important it is personally because I have seen all of this take place in my family over the years. But I recently learned that in 2008, April 16th, our beloved day after we have our taxes filed, was designated as National Healthcare Decision Day. And this date was chosen based on the famous quote by Benjamin Franklin, that in this world, nothing is certain except for death and taxes. So we're encouraging folks to set aside a day to have conversations with family about advanced healthcare planning. And I know a lot of the topics that I talk about are not exciting topics. They're challenging topics because they're involving end-of-life decisions, and that's not something that we want to think about. But advanced healthcare planning doesn't necessarily mean end-of-life. It just means that you're prepared, regardless of your age, to have somebody available to speak for you if something happens and you're not able to make your healthcare decisions for yourself. So I will use an example. My brother was in his 40s when he was in an accident at his job, and he fractured his skull. Now, the positive thing, well, first of all, the positive is he's fully recovered and he's doing just fine.
Good.
But the positive issue there was, even though he'd had a serious accident, he was still able to communicate his wishes for his treatment to recover from that injury. But what if he wasn't able to? What if he was not able to make those decisions? In that case, there's a lot of complications that go. We think normally healthcare would just defer to the family and let the family make decisions. But with all of the healthcare laws that are out there now, it's more and more complicated. So we need to have the official paperwork in place. If something happens to me and I am not able to communicate my healthcare wishes, then I want this person in my family or this friend of mine or this attorney to be able to make those decisions for me. And so we have to think in terms of who is going to be the person that you know for certain who is going to abide by your wishes. So initiating these conversations are unsettling and they're hard. And I know that because I've been there. So we really want to make sure, first of all, once you're 18 or older, you look at advanced healthcare planning. Absolutely important. Second of all, along with the healthcare power of attorney, we encourage folks age 18 and older to also set up a financial power of attorney. Now, financial power of attorney gets really scary because people think of the possibility of somebody coming in and taking control of my money. That is a huge misconception. What this person does is they're able to work your finances if you're incapacitated and not able to do so. So in the example with my brother, if I needed to pay his bills or make financial decisions for him, if he should become incapacitated, I would have the legal documents to be able to do that. I could go to the bank and speak on his behalf and so forth. But the thing about either one of these documents is you can change them at any time. And that financial power of attorney only takes place when you're not able to make those decisions for yourself. So once you recover, that is a document that does not go into place. But understanding that at any time you can change the documents, appoint somebody different, gives you that peace of mind in knowing, regardless of the situation, that things are going to be taken care of. So the person only speaks for you if you're either temporarily or permanently incapacitated due to illness or injury determined by your doctor. A living will is a document also that allows us to put in writing the wishes that we have for end-of-life care. So it's a third document that we would have. And again, it's in the event that we cannot communicate those wishes. So unlike the durable power of attorney for health care, this document doesn't appoint someone to act on your behalf. It is a document where you state in your own voice what type of care you want at the end of your life. So it's an instruction list to your family, friends, and your healthcare providers that specifically outlines what type of care you want in certain situations. So a lot of times we think about this in terms of major life support at the end of life. Do I want to have a machine breathe for me, or is that something that I would prefer not to happen? Do I want to be resuscitated or do I not? So the DNR is a document lots of times that will be completed along with a living will. So what life-sustaining procedures do you personally want? And that's outlined in the document, and that document cannot be changed by anyone. It can only be changed by you. So, you know, when we look at the number of people in the United States having advanced health care directives, that number is increasing. So what we see, however, is still the majority of Americans do not have advanced health care planning documents in place. So 2/3 of Americans do not have this work completed. And it is so important. I look at it in terms of a gift to your family and to your loved ones, because they don't have to make the tough decisions. You've outlined the decisions and you have appointed someone that you have shared your concerns with who will make those decisions and follow your wishes. The good thing in Kansas is these documents can be completed without the assistance of an attorney. K-State Research and Extension has a very comprehensive packet on advanced healthcare planning, and I've got that packet on our website at meritazine.kstate.edu. Or you can call our office at 913-294-4306 for a printed copy. And it includes information as well as the actual forms to complete. And then just to wrap things up, you know, when I'm talking about having the tough conversations, there is a project that is actually called the Conversation Project. And it's an excellent resource that I also recently learned about. You can visit their website at theconversationproject.org. And they have a starter guide for doing these tough conversations to really help you think through the process and kind of get your thoughts in order before you call whoever it is that you want to have the conversation with to the table to be able to keep the discussion on track and make sure that your wishes are adequately communicated. So give me a call, 913-294-4306, and I'll point you in the right direction.
I can see why you suggested sitting down and having a family meeting, because this is a whole lot more than just a group text or a passing conversation over dinner, that's for sure.
Absolutely. A lot of emotions involved.
But it also sounds like there are a lot of resources available, so that should help.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Kathy. Always good to talk to you, especially over something this important. So we look forward to talking to you again soon. Coming up tomorrow morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District Crop Production and Farm Management Agent Ryan Schaub.